Welcome back to the Boys and Bowlers podcast. We down here in the barbershop, Rat Tail Bunker studio of life. Right, Jarrett? We're down here? This is it? We're down here?
You're not down here. We out here. I'm not down there. I'm not in the hole.
This is a remote recording.
This is our first international recording among the Boys and Bolos.
It is, but we did try yesterday and failed miserably.
We had technical difficulties.
Well, beyond our control. Well, it's in my control, but
I don't know if it's beyond our control. It's not like a comet coming out of the earth.
But here's the thing. My computer was being very reliable up until it's not. I mean, there isn't that how all computers are? Either way, there were some funky things going on with the final recording. My audio, not Jarrett's audio. Jarrett, your audio was very crisp, very good. You got it uploaded very quickly. Very proud of you. You come a long way, baby.
I got a gold star.
Gold star.
This is like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the points don't matter. I got 1,000 points.
It was very disappointing for me because we did the recording. It was like an hour long. It was a very solid, another solid episode in the book. And I went to bed and I was like, well, that recording was probably not going to work. It's probably trash. And here we are. We're doing it again.
The world may never know the brilliant things we said about week 6 in the Premier League.
Yeah, week 6. It was quite the week for Spurs. Arsenal apparently won the North London Derby trophy. And celebrated as if they had won the Champions League. But that's par for the course with Arsenal. I mean, they had to ham it up for the cameras, as they say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, take your wins when you can get it. And to be honest, when you look at the Arsenal team, they're good. I'm not saying they're not a good team. Smith Rowe is one of my favorite players to watch in the Premier League. His movement on and off the ball, the guy is nice. And when Saka's on, he's nice. But Saka, towards the end of the season, and I think you could even argue in the Euros, he just wasn't firing. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I honestly think the Premier League players in the Euros, maybe other than Jorginho, they looked super fatigued. But maybe that's just me.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen with Spurs. I am holding true to my prediction on Arsenal. They're going to finish mid-table, below mid-table, potentially. And, you know, The weeks roll on. It was a weird week. Chelsea lost to City, 1-0. Liverpool tied Brentford 3-3. Lots of goals being scored. And I don't know. Is it going to be a three-horse race now because United are kind of a weird team? It's just all vibes over there. They did win their Champions League game finally. They won a Champions League game finally today, but in the 99th minute or something crazy.
When you say they, you mean Cristiano Ronaldo and, like, a part of Bruno Fernandes won.
Yes. I mean, it's just Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his tactics are Ronaldo vibes. Just send out a bunch of players. They kick the ball around, and Ronaldo, like, finds it and, like, kind of dinks it in. That's, like, that's their thing.
There's never been a better box in the box finisher in the world than Cristiano Ronaldo. If he gets
insane.
He can take a half chance and turn it into like a complete full chance. Whereas like you give Timo Werner 7 full chances and he'll miss all of them. the world's spinning a little bit differently these days. The City, I'm trying to think, it's really weird that we already like did this recording. So now we have to like think about what we said. But I think yesterday we said exactly what you just said about, it's more of a 3-horse race because I don't think United can really compete because they can't, all like Cristiano Ronaldo cannot carry them through 38 games of consistency, and City are the best team probably going forward. Chelsea still look like they probably have the best defense, and Liverpool maybe look like the most balanced team, but maybe not. Liverpool's defense looks a lot shakier than the years where they won the Premier League and they won the Champions League. So I don't know. This week, I think the biggest thing is that we're starting to see the three at the top, and I think Norwich is probably relegated. I know it's super early and you can't count them out, but we're week 6. We're going on week 7. It's looking really brutal for Norwich. They got 0 points. They're at the bottom. They're negative 14, I think, in goal differential. I mean, they are in a deep hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's Norwich, it's Burnley, and it's probably going to be Watford, Newcastle, one of those teams. And maybe Spurs. Maybe Spurs will mix it up down there. But I don't want to get too far into it. I think that the Champions League games this past week was pretty indicative of like what's going on with the Premier League teams in the league. Chelsea can't score. They have trouble scoring. City have trouble against top teams, like top four teams in the league and then top teams in the Champions League, and they couldn't find one against PSG, even though that they sent guys in the box and created chances and had the possession and blah, blah, blah. You had Liverpool just scoring goals on goals on goals. They scored 5 goals, I think. But they played an easy team. And then United, it's just vibes. It's just they got outplayed by Villarreal. I think Villarreal should have had 3 goals in the first half, but they only got 1. And that team should have that team was better than United today. Like, maybe not player for player, but like Unai Emery definitely is a better coach than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He does a lot more with less. Let's put it that way. So I think
he does a lot more with less. I love that.
The Premier League teams performing in the Champions League did exactly how they're like kind of doing in the league. And I have concerns for Chelsea going forward because Lukaku just doesn't seem to be the guy. I mean, they subbed in. So they sent out, Ziyech, Havertz, and Lukaku up top, right? Mount's hurt or whatever it is, so he's not really an option. Pulisic is hurt. That's not an option. No, those would be the next 2 guys up. So they put in Hudson-Odoi and Ross Barkley and who's the other? What was the other one?
Chalobah. They put Chalobah in the holding. Chalobah. He actually looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. But they're just throwing guys. Like Tuchel, today Tuchel just kind of looked like lost because he didn't have Conte to put in there, and he didn't have Conte to start. So they didn't have any presence in the midfield. So they had nothing, right? And that is a problem for Chelsea because you saw what happened in the Spurs game when Chelsea played Spurs. Conte didn't play the first half. As soon as he came in the second half, the game changed in favor of Chelsea. And if they don't have that, and Kovacic is not the player that that Conte is. So I'm worried about that. And I don't think Lukaku shows up for big games, as you've always said. And we've both agreed that Lukaku is not a big game player. And people might disagree with that, but he's just not. The fact that Werner didn't even come in to that game today is telling, because I actually thought the game could have used a player like Werner just running around, like, pressuring. But the fact that Tuchel is like, yeah, this guy's – we're not going to throw in him because he's not going to get us any goals. He's just not going to create a goal for us I think he knows how to set up a defense. I think he's struggling to find a way to score.
It was a tough game because if you watch the game and you watched it at like 3x speed and you just watch Romelu Lukaku, he just sat amongst the trees. He sat amongst Bonucci and De Ligt and didn't really move, didn't really come in for the ball, didn't create any space, didn't drag a defender out. And like, I guess Tuchel tells him to do that, but it's just such a weird thing. And his first touch is not good. The game was very ironic because the guy who scores against us, Chiesa, was a guy who we offered 100 mil to. And Juventus is like, nah, we good, bruh. And then we get Romelu. So it's just like, it's like playing your ex-girlfriend and then she beats you or some shit. I don't know. It was weird vibes.
It was ironic that happened. I honestly, I always want to compare Lukaku to Kane, right? Because like, they're both number nines, like pure number nines. But what Kane does better than Lukaku is ball distribution and hold-up play. I think he does it better than Lukaku, honestly. I think Lukaku is a bigger, like more imposing guy in the box, kind of like muscle a guy off the ball. But I think what Kane has that Lukaku, I think that Chelsea need, is a guy who's able to drop. I'm not saying drop as deep as Kane does, but drop just a little bit deeper and play almost like a false nine, because you need somebody to come in and take the ball, make a move, back up to the defender, make a move. I'm not talking about like at the 18. I'm talking about like a little bit further up, right? And make a move and then distribute the ball to a winger, right? And pull 2 defenders away, because that's like what, when Kane was playing well, and that's why he had 20 assists, right? Then he had Son, or he had somebody else, mostly Son, but that's the problem with Lukaku is that he doesn't have that skill. And I think that's what proven to be a success in the Premier League, and he's not able to provide that, and that's why Chelsea are still going to struggle to find goals. Yeah, they'll score goals against, they're going to score tons of goals against Watford, and he's going to score goals against Watford and Norwich and Leeds and shit defenders and la la la, but it's not going to work against top 4 teams. So
it's not going to work against top four teams. And it's really tough to watch because last year in the Champions League, we didn't really have a nine. Like, we did in Giroud, but he didn't play as much. And we did in Tommy Abraham, but he didn't really play as much. So we basically had false nines or guys who were just going to run around. And going forward, maybe it wasn't the best. Maybe Lukaku actually is a bigger threat in the box. But the problem is Lukaku does not close down space like Werner, Havertz, Pulisic, Ziyech, and Mount do. And so when the other team has the ball, we make it more comfortable. And if you're going to let two Italian defenders, or one Italian defender and one Dutch defender, but playing for an Italian team, just sit, and you're not going to like drag them out, they love it. They're like, oh, this is easy. We're bigger, we're as big or stronger, and we're probably more experienced of getting the ball off players like you. And the one thing I was like, okay, you know what? I've always said I didn't want Lukaku on this team. I still don't think he's a very polished player. But I was like, you know what? Maybe he'll score against Juve because it's an Italian team, and he just came from the Italian league and just won the league. Maybe he'll feel comfortable playing in Turin. Doesn't happen. Changing subjects a little bit, PSG Man City. Messi has now scored 27 goals against top six English teams. Kane has only scored 26 goals against top six English teams. So Messi has scored more goals against top six English teams than probably the best English nine in the Premier League today. Which just kind of like, I don't really know exactly what that says, but it shows that like Harry Kane or even Romelu Lukaku is not even close to those numbers that Harry Kane has, but there's not a lot of good nines right now in the Premier League. When Kun Aguero left, there's still a vacuum at City. United doesn't have a nine. I mean, I guess you can say Ronaldo's a nine, but he's more for me like a winger. Liverpool doesn't really have a nine, not the way that Mo Salah and Mane play. Bobby Firmino was their nine. Jota doesn't play like a nine. I don't know. I think soccer has changed a lot. The game has changed a lot, and it's gone into a smaller team. And after Spain in 2012 won the Euros with a flat back four and essentially six number eights, sixes, and tens, and they didn't have a nine, that changed the game forever. They kind of showed that you just need a lot of high possession and you'll eventually get enough chances that you'll probably score a goal. And that's what Man City's trying to do. They chose to get Jack Grealish over getting Kane, essentially. So
essentially, yeah.
It's, I don't know.
It's not going to work.
It's a weird world.
I don't think it's going to. Grealish is not that player. Just Grealish isn't that player. Like, he's not. We've talked about this before. He's a hold-up player. He's not fluid. He holds the ball. He tries to draw fouls, and it's good. I think it really works really well for a team like Villa. It does not work too well for a team like City. It doesn't help them create chances. It helps him hold the ball, helps him get a free kick. It does not help them pass in the box, score an easy tap-in goal. That's what they're trying to do. They couldn't score against – they probably had 65% of the possession in that Champions League game against PSG. Maybe 60. Far less actual quality chances than PSG, in my opinion. And they were saying – and all the announcers were saying, City's playing so well. Oh, this is playing so well. They're so good. They're so good. They lost 2-0. It was fucking 2-0.
Bernardo Silva should have put that one away. That was a sitter.
Yes. Okay.
I still don't know how he doesn't score. He's one of the most technical players for me in the Prem. We kind of skipped over week six. Well, if we go back to week six, there's one thing I want to talk about, because we talked about on the first recording, was that Leeds is in the relegation zone. They've played six games and they've only tied three different times. And I think that's fairly ominous. And I'm going to be interested to see what they do. I do not believe that they will be relegated. But unlike last season where they started and they were probably in the top eight after six games, and we could look that up, it's interesting to see them there. And obviously Bamford wasn't around, but it's like if Bamford gets hurt for even a month or 6 weeks, they may be dropping a lot of points. It seems to me that there are many teams in the Premier League, probably except for United, Liverpool, and City. And City's an interesting one, but those teams are probably going to struggle to score. Every other team is going to kind of struggle. Like, they don't have a guy who's going to go out and do it. Maybe, like, honestly, Danny Ings, now that he's on Aston Villa, but I don't know. I guess I'm feeling like last year I felt like there was a lack of good central defenders, and now I'm feeling like this year there's a lack of just straight goal poachers, just dudes who you give them the ball and they're going to figure it out in the box and score. Yeah. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're right. I think there's a lack of just, I think, quality goal scorers, I think, is the best way to put it. Because I'm not going to say nines, because nines is a there's not that many nines anyway. We know that. But, like, false nines and really good goal scorers. The fact that United felt like they had to bring in Ronaldo, you know, Chelsea had to bring in Lukaku. But, like, you're talking about Leeds. Like, that team crumbles without Bamford. The team is crumbling without a solid, like, I wouldn't even say, I'm not going to say mediocre. I'm going to say above average outside defender in Luke Ayling. You know? Like, he hasn't been playing. He's injured. He got a knee injury. The team, like Leeds, relies on that player, right? Who relies on, they rely on wing play, crossing in the box, getting the ball up to Bamford, him poking the ball in, him, you know, having some
poking,
quality in the
box. Poking the ball in.
Poking the ball in with his toe.
I love
toe
it. Poke. Just a little touch.
Yeah, I would agree. I would definitely agree. I think a lot of teams are struggling to find consistent goal scorers, I think is the best way to do it. And the City way where you're scoring goals by committee doesn't work for a lot of teams. It doesn't work for teams that don't have the depth that City have. And we'll see how it shakes out. It could be just continuing fatigue from the summer, from players just playing way too much football. It could be that, I don't know, we're just noticing it more. I don't know. Are there less goals being scored? Are fans being in the stadium creating a different environment for the players? There's all these questions. It's a different season. It's a much different season. I think the table is going to look a little bit different than what we're expecting. And especially from like, 6th through, 15th. Could be a big mix-up. I think there's a lot of mediocrity. I don't mean mediocrity in like there's bad football. I just mean that like a lot of teams are the same. A lot of teams are around the same level, and then there's like four teams that are really good. And there's going to be a big fight for Europa League spots, Conference League spot. Like we said before, I think the top four is going to be one of five teams. It's going to be five teams basically competing for a top four spot, and then everybody else is going to be pretty close to Europa League, and it's really going to come down to the last probably 10 games for those Europa League spots. I mean, you can pretty much dictate your season within the last 10 games. I'm not talking about like relegation teams, but I mean everybody from like 14th through 6th are going to be pretty close. Not in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think we're kind of done with week 6. Week 6 was, there wasn't like anything crazy. I thought Everton's win was nice. There was a couple other things. There was a late goal with the Brighton Hove game. It was good to see them get a point there. They're continuing to overachieve, and it's impressive. Going back, though, to the Champions League, you had Sheriff beating Real Madrid, and Dirk Kuyt, who's now a coach, and I forget what team he coaches, he said that Sheriff shouldn't even be in the Champions League. And the Sheriff coach is like, well, we're going to prove them wrong, and they're at the top of their group with 6 points. And Real Madrid had, and I can't seem to find the stat, Real Madrid had hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on the field, and the entire Sheriff team is only like $13.61 million. And Sheriff's biggest transfer ever was $200,000. Eden Hazard, who doesn't even play for Real Madrid anymore, makes $475,000 a week or something. He's on some ridiculous wages, just so he can probably go down to like McDonald's and eat fries. So that game was wild. Wild. And it wasn't like they had like a tap-in goal to win. They had a worldie, like probably top 10 this week of a goal. It was phenomenal.
It's really interesting about the Champions League, and I disagree with they shouldn't be in it. I mean, they qualified, and they went through all the qualification games, and they made it in, whatever. That's fine. But my whole thing with the Champions League, right, is you have all these teams that are, like, borderline, like, Europa League teams that are in the Champions League, and everybody gets so, like, I gotta be playing in a Champions League team. I want to play in a Champions League. I want to play. But, like, let's be real. What you want to be in, you want to be playing in a league that's like a top league. That's my opinion. You want to be playing in a top league, not a top tournament. Like, that's my opinion. I mean, some people may say the Champions League is a league in itself, but you're only playing, you're guaranteed 6 games, right? And then you can go on to all the, but it's basically a tournament, right? What you want to be doing if you're a top professional player is you want to be playing in a top professional league. So stop with the whole Champions League, I need to be playing in the Champions League bullshit, right? The whole Koundé thing, shot himself in the foot. He could have went to a Premier League team, but instead he stayed at Sevilla because they're going to be in the Champions League. Sevilla lost today, or Sevilla tied today, or whatever they did, right? They might not make it out of the group stage. And that's poetic justice for a player like that. And they think that they should only be playing on a team who's like a top Champions League team or even in the Champions League. It's just bullshit, dude. Like, if you want to make your mark in world football, you either need to do something internationally. Obviously, we've seen that, you know, people get big contracts from international World Cup play, but you also need to be playing it. You need to play in the Premier League, La Liga, or Serie A or Bundesliga. Four leagues. Yeah, Bundesliga. You need to play in four leagues. None of this, like, I need to play in the Champions League stuff. I think that argument needs to go, like, stop. We need to stop with that thing. We need to stop with that. It's silly.
I think it's just, like, maybe for players who come from national teams that are super competitive, it's better if they play in a lower team, but that they're on the Champions League stage. Because I agree with you. I think it's hard for us because we're so Premier League focused and Premier League biased to make those judgments. But I agree. If I'm Koundé, I'd rather play at Spurs. I'd rather play at a team that's not in the Champions League but be in the Premier League than be in La Liga. La Liga is dying. Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and Barcelona are all dying under their own debt. And the decisions they've made the last 10 years, and essentially they're like La Liga's space race, as they each basically bankrupted themselves to try to beat the other one. When you had two of the probably three or four best players of all time that just happened to play in the same decade in La Liga. And it's an insane thing what's happening. And then Barcelona lose today, 3-0. And once again, I know we're a Prem Popcat podcast, but we need to talk about this because Barcelona is one of the biggest clubs on the planet. They lose 3-0 today, and they lost the first game 3-0. And in both games, in 180 minutes, a Barcelona team didn't have one shot on goal. That is a club that is dying by 1,000 cuts. And they're not going to be able to like have any transfers this summer because the banks are coming knocking. The bill comes due. And Real Madrid is the same thing. Real Madrid is essentially just Benzema vibes. Now, they have some younger guys, but they're basically fairly analogous to Manchester United. Manchester United is just living off of Cristiano Ronaldo. Real Madrid is basically just living off of Karim Benzema. And when these players move on, these clubs are going to be so heavily just dying in debt. The La Liga in 5 years is going to look very different. You may actually see a winner over the next 5 years that's not Real Madrid, not Barcelona, or not Atletico Madrid. Could be Sevilla, actually. It could be Villarreal. Could be some other team that, you know, pulls a Leicester. But getting back to the Champions League, there were some great games, great upsets. It looked good today, and I'm excited to move forward because I still think Chelsea are going to get out of their group. I think Manchester United are going to get out of the group. I think City and Liverpool all get out of their groups. It's going to be interesting to see if they don't finish first, though, who they draw in the next round, because that's where you run into some big teams, Bayern, Juve's, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona. I don't think he's even going to get out of their group. Barcelona may be in the Europa League for the first time in that I can remember.
They'll lose in the Europa League, too. They're not.
Oh, yeah, they'll totally lose. I think Koeman's probably going to get fired in the next day. But let's look ahead at week 7 and look at the games we got, because there's some pretty good games. There's going to be a phenomenal game, and then there's definitely a mini-back game. Week 7 starts on this Saturday. The first game is Manchester United-Everton. This is going to be a good game. I'm trying to think what we said yesterday on the recording that was lost to the ether. I've got United winning this because it's at Old Trafford, and I'm going to go 2-1.
And I have Everton winning. No, but I had Everton winning before United pulled off the late game magic today with Ronaldo. No, I'm still gonna pick Everton. I'll go with my original pick, 2-1.
I think it's going. The next game is the mini bat game so far of the season. You have Norwich in the basement and Burnley that's right ahead of them on 2 points, I believe. So Burnley Norwich, it is at Turf Moor, and I'm gonna go with good old Sean Dyche. Burnley's gonna win this game. And after this, Norwich's coach is fired. Many of their players will be put down like drunken pups, and that will be that. And I think they're on I think they're on a straight train back to the championship. They need to somehow change things. I don't know. They need to get Anthony Martial from United, put him up top. I don't know what they need to do because I don't see a way that they're not relegated. And I'm calling that week 7. I'm reading the last rites.
I think somebody brought this up. I think I was talking to my friend Steve about this. He mentioned that he wished that like there was a tournament for the bottom three teams in the Premier League and the top three teams in the Championship for the for relegation promotion, right? As opposed to like, because that then, if you think about it, right, then like those teams that win or do well in that tournament at the end of the season, like the Premier League teams, they beat the Championship teams to stay up. They deserve this. Like, some of these teams just, like, they get up to the Premier League, and they're clearly not Premier League teams. That it's brutal.
I love
like,
that
it's
idea.
To watch these teams.
I love that idea. I can't co-sign that idea more because there are sometimes teams that go down from the Premier League, and you know that they're better than the Championship teams coming up, and especially with this Norwich team because they had Oliver Skip, who was doing a lot of the pulling of the strings in the middle of the field. So they come up now on the wings of that 11, and then they lose him. It's a completely different team overnight. Chelsea yeah. without Conte is a completely different team. Liverpool without Mo Salah is a completely different team. United without Ronaldo is Europa League. One player can totally yeah. shift everything. Look at what happened with Barcelona. Barcelona don't have Messi, and now they're literally Europa League, and I don't even know if they're going to qualify for Champions League next year in Spain. people are like, oh, who's better, you know, Ronaldo or Messi? I'm like, Messi basically held that team together because the second he leaves, it just shows how good he is. Actually, doesn't say anything about Ronaldo. I just think it speaks to how great Messi is. But on this game, do you also have Burnley?
Yeah. But only 1-0. I don't think it's going to be a.
That's fine. I'll go 1-0. Chelsea Southampton. I got Chelsea. This is going to be at the Bridge. I got Chelsea 2-0. We've had coming off 2 losses. We lost to City 1-0. We lost to the Juve 1-0, which was me. I think we're gonna put the hurting on Southampton 2-0.
I think it's gonna be 1-0, but I think Chelsea will pull it up. Like I said, can't score goals.
It's fair. Can't score, won't stop. Leeds United Watford is the next game. This is going to be at Allen Road. What are your thoughts?
I think Leeds are going to get their first win of the season. I think it's at home. I think the good crowd there, they'll show up, cheer on the boys. They'll win 2-0.
I agree. I think Leeds will win this game. It's going to be good. And the table is so tight that if Leeds win and other things remain equal, they jump 2 or 3 spots. Tottenham win this week, they jump 2 or 3 spots. So you lose, you drop 4 or 5 spots. Like that's how tight the table is still. So I also believe that Leeds win. The next game is Wolves versus a team that I picked to get relegated, Newcastle. And it is at the Molyneux. So I've got Wolves 2-1 over Newcastle.
Agree.
This is easy.
This is what I have to say about this game. I do hope that one goal, though, by Newcastle is from Saint-Maximin, because that team is just Saint-Maximin vibes, him doing stepovers and like trying to dribble past defenders. And I put him under my fantasy. So
you did?
Please. I did.
So
I did.
The NBA outlawed those like ninja bandana situations, and I love that he just rocks it. So I think he's the only player in the Prem to wear it. It's like a Rafa Nadal situation. Yeah. He'll just literally, it's like someone's like controlling him, like in FIFA. He'll just dribble at times he should pass. Like it's like the guy is open, just playing the ball, get a 1-2 and getting behind. And he's just like doing errant stepovers. It's he should be a Red Bull ad because he has a lot of energy. The next game is Brighton Arsenal. This is going to be a good game because Brighton currently is, I think they're overachieving just a little bit. Graham Potter's, I don't know, he's got the magic sauce over there. They're in 6th. Arsenal is in 10th. They're only separated by 4 points. Obviously, the table is super tight. But this is a game I think is actually going to end in a tie. It's at the Amex. And Arsenal have been looking good. They're coming off the NLD trophy win. You know, they went around London with their, you know, their buses, and they had a trophy, and they won.
Yeah,
but I think Brighton will probably win this. Sorry, I think it will be a tie. I think it will be a tie, 1-1.
I think it's going to be another one of those Mbappe late game magic. They're going to win 2-1, bring Arsenal back down to earth.
Dude, Mbappe haunts Arsenal. He's the one who hurt Leno in the restart. I love it. You love it.
And they got Ramsdale playing goalie, so.
It's true. The next game is Crystal Palace Leicester. Crystal Palace is a team that you picked to get relegated. They're currently in 15th, but Leicester is only in 13th, and they're only separated by 1 point. The game will be played at none other than Selhurst, a.k.a. Led Tasso or Ted Lasso Park. I'm going to go with Leicester. I think Leicester needs to start winning. However, a Crystal Palace win or a tie is also great because I like Leicester staying away. I'm going to go with a Leicester win 1-0, though.
Soinchu's pretty good. Is Madison playing? I don't think so. We got Jamie Vardy up there doing stepovers and air guitar on the corner flags. So maybe I think they win 2-1 Leicester. 2-1 Leicester.
The next game is Jaboys, the Spoysies, Tottenham versus Aston Villa. And you guys are at home. I don't know if you're going to win the game, but I think you need to win the game. So I'm going to hope that you win the game 1-0.
You had more confidence last night, but
I did have more confidence. The thing is, I thought about it.
You thought you gave it a good think.
No, you know what? You know, in the long term trend, Tottenham is a better team than Aston Villa, right? If you play 100 games, Tottenham's going to win more games than Aston Villa. So I think you guys have a good chance tomorrow to when you play, Sunday to beat Aston Villa, and I'm hoping that you do. If you do not, Nuno is going to come. He's going to start getting some actual serious pressure. Losing the NLD was tough. It happens. But if you lose to Aston Villa, a team that's, I'd say, fairly mediocre, not playing in a billion-dollar stadium, doesn't have one of the probably better coaches in the Premier League, doesn't have Harry Kane, doesn't have Heung-Min Song, then questions start to get asked. So I'm going to hope you guys win 1-0.
I'm going to go with a 1-1 tie. Although I do hope it's 1-0 as well, or 2-0 or 3-0. But I think it's going to be more telling how they play tomorrow, being Thursday, in their Europa Conference League game, because it'll determine, I think, a little bit who some of the question mark players for Sunday, right? So the players like Heal player over Mora, for instance, or the player like Skip, who somehow did not start the game in North London Derby. But the amount of money on the field against a Conference League team, they should win that game. If they don't win that game, there's a deep, deep problem at Spurs, like deeper than we can imagine. It's like very deep. And it means that there's a coach and player and management problem. We all know there are these things, but it's a very deep, deep problem where like the players don't want to play for the coach. They don't give a shit. I think there are certain players who don't. I hope they have enough professionalism to go out and play as hard as they need to play to win the game, because they do have their own careers to think about.
Amen. I totally agree with you. I think the lineup that you put out against the Europa Conference League team, you know, it's like, do you start your 11 and hope to win by halftime so you rest them? Or do you start scrubs and then maybe you have to put in your 11 for 30 minutes at the end and they're stressed? It's kind of a tough thing. There's not like an easy answer to that, especially if you're a team that's really struggling currently to score goals. But hopefully you win that game and you are able to rest some people and you come into – it's good that it's home, so you don't have to come home to the training ground and then go away to Aston Villa. But I think you're going to win 1-0. The next game is West Ham versus Brentford. These last two games I think are going to be the games of the week. West Ham is sitting in 7th. Brentford's in 9th. They've both been very, very competitive. West Ham still looks good, even without Lingardinho. You love to see it, kind of, even though you hate to see it because they're getting better and they're taking some space in London. I'm going to go with West Ham. They're playing at the London Stadium. I'm going to go West Ham 2-0.
I'm hoping for my fantasy prospects that Ivan Toney scores a goal or two, and it ends in a tie, because no one likes to see West Ham win, but we also don't really want Brentford to win because they're overachieving, I think, at this point. So I'm going to go with 2-2 tie. They're not great defensively, but they seem to just jam the ball in the box and find guys to poke it in. Like I say, poke it in.
I love it. 2-2 would be a solid game. And then the last game I think is also probably the game of the week, other than maybe that West Ham Brentford game, because I think that's going to be exceedingly competitive, is Liverpool City. And this game will not be played at the Empty Hod. It will be played at Anfield. So I'm going to go Liverpool 3-2. I think it's going to be a goal fest. Goal fest. I think it's going to be a phenomenal watch. I'm going to definitely find somewhere to watch it down here. But I got 3-2. Does that sound weird to you?
It does not sound weird, but I am going to go a little bit different route. I do think Liverpool will win, but I think it's going to be a lot less competitive than you think. And I think it's going to be 3-1. I think that City will have more trouble than most people anticipate to break down Liverpool's defense. And without a number 9, without a real goal-scoring threat besides Raheem Sterling running into the box and falling over on the touchline, I don't think they can score goals. And so, well, they can score goals, but I don't think they can score goals against top teams. And I think that Liverpool just loves to just, I think Mane and Salah and Jota just have a better thing going than most front threes in the Premier League. So I think that's how they're gonna get it done. 3-1 plus at home. Anfield's a fortress.
Anfield's a brutal to play at. All right, that's week 7. We're gonna look super quickly at fantasy. And the most important thing about fantasy, sorry Oz, is that you are not in first. That is the whole goal. I do not want to Venmo you $50 because you've already got some swag. We're hoping that somebody new takes some swag. So Jamie with Hangover 96 is in first. Mitch is in second with El Diaz de Julio, and City Slickers Nick Bailey is in third. Jeff, you are in sixth. You are moving on up.
I'm in sixth now?
Yeah, you're in sixth. I am in I'm sorry. I lied. You're in ninth. You're in ninth. I'm in 12th. Oz is in sixth. And you need to be careful because he'll start making some changes. He'll like stay up one night stressed out, do some analytics and like figure it out and moneyball the shit out of all of us.
I had a couple transfers to spend and I took them and I think it's positive. I think I'm going in the right direction.
I really like what you did. You got Antonio and Tony up top. You got Son, Benrahma, Salah, Jota, and Didi in the middle. Diaz, James, who's injured for a minute, and Walker in the back. That's super nice. And Mendy. Having Mendy in goal, I also have him just because Chelsea's, I think, will probably have the best defense at the end of the year. So that's nice. Jeff, the only other thing I want to talk about is the fact that this June 2022, the June coming, could be the Euro America first time cup ever played between Italy and Argentina. A lot of hand gestures will be played. There will be a lot of diving. Ideally, Messi wins because I do not want to see Italy win. Sorry, all the Italian fans. It's going to be in June. If it's in Italy, are we going? If it's in Argentina, are we going? What's your thought?
Italy, been there before. The country might not welcome me back. I don't want to go dive too deeply into it, but I have never been to Argentina, so I prefer it to be Argentina. I'd love to go there.
Mitch, if you're listening, if we're going to Argentina, you are going with us. Mitch is a wine connoisseur. He will take us all around Argentina with his Argentine accent.
Somalier? And if you don't know what the Somalier?
Yeah, I said sommelier. Sommelier.
No, you did not say I said sommelier. You said now sommelier. Have taken on my...
I said sommelier. Wait, are you saying I said sommelier?
Sommelier, something. You had a weird... I have to go back. I'll go listen to the janky recording and...
Did I mix I'll the
cut it
year?
In. I'm going to cut it in.
I'll Don't cut that in. It should be in the outro. Post.
Yeah. It's in the outro.
No, the outro is like Gary Neville shitting on United or Graham Souness, I don't know, taking pot shots at Tottenham. But this will be just me trying to like pronounce sommelier or sommelier. Either way, if we go to Argentina, Mitch, you're definitely coming. It's super lit down there. They might let you in, Jeff.
I have a passport, so hopefully.
But have a passport. That's cute.
I have a passport. I have a COVID vaccine. Both shots, mind you.
You made it sound like you're going to be traveling with it. Like, I'm bringing my COVID vaccine.
Well,
so are you checking any bags? Yes, I'm checking my Moderna shot. don't shake. Keep in a cold place.
We have to find out what the travel situation is down in Argentina. Like, if you can even go there as a... You could get in with your Colombian passport, right?
I could probably get in with my Colombian passport, but I don't know if I can... Yeah, I could probably get in my Colombian passport. I don't know. Who knows? It's all weird. In order for me to come back, I have to show a negative test. So I'm getting tested Saturday, and I fly out Monday. But if that shows negative, I will be in some trouble.
You mean negative as in you have COVID?
Negative is that I do not have COVID. Like, I'm not COVID positive.
You have to show a negative COVID test.
Yes.
Got it.
The pressure is on. Or
What are you doing down there? Like,
no, well, you know, Colombia is actually interesting. And I know we're not talking about the Premier League. So if you're still here, thanks for listening to us ramble. But Colombia, a lot of people are just not wearing masks. Like, I'd say 95% of people don't wear masks.
Are they vaccinated?
The vaccination rate is obviously not what it is in the States where we are, where it's like 80 to 82% or whatever. So it's going to be a thing. We'll see. I don't know, you know, but I'll be back eventually. I'm back down in the bunker and the barbershop.
Oof.
Goof.
After your quarantine.
Yeah, after 3-year quarantine. Anyways, thanks for listening to the Boys and Balls podcast. We'll see everyone next time.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening and see you next time.